And right now, it is time to say good morning to Netsi and talking nutrition as we do at this time on a Thursday. We're talking about gluten intolerance. Netsi, very good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Wayne.
And thanks for joining us again today, Netsi, and talking about gluten intolerance. It's quite a complicated topic, which involves special diets to keep it under control, etc., etc. But I'll leave it up to you to explain it.
Yes, gluten intolerance is rather complicated. I think it's complicated because it's difficult to diagnose. Mm-hmm. And if we look at the symptoms, it's rather vague. So it's gluten intolerance or celiac disease. And this is caused by an immune reaction. So the minute you eat gluten or gluten-containing food, so gluten is actually the protein that is in the food. So it's contained in wheat or barley or rye derivatives. And then when you eat this, it triggers the immune system because your immunity responds then to the protein, the protein of the gluten. And then unfortunately, over time, these reactions may damage the small intestine. And then this basically makes that you cannot absorb the smaller nutrients.
Okay.
So if we speak about symptoms, generally, we would think it would be things like people complain about maybe diarrhea, fatigue, weight loss, maybe like a bloated abdomen, abdominal pain, nausea, vomiting, constipation. So very much gut-related irritabilities would be the symptoms that people will complain about.
I was just going to say, with such a wide variety of symptoms, as you said, very, very difficult to pin down to one particular condition.
Yes. So, I mean, there's so many things that can cause diarrhea or bloating or abdominal pain. So in a case like this, we would generally encourage people to do food diaries, and we will try and track when, how, and where these symptoms actually develops. And generally then it's easy for us to see. But then also more difficult because it influences your absorption abilities. Adults mainly will have symptoms like anemia because obviously your body cannot absorb the iron. Also things like bone density losses like osteoporosis, osteomalacia. This is obviously long-term sort of complications. Something like an itchy, blistery skin. They call it dermatitis herpetiformis. So it's like small little white red spots on your arms. People suffer of mouth ulcers, or they may just be tired, have headaches, joint pain, and maybe also if you have blood tests, we can expect something like increased liver enzymes. And in kids then, it's also nausea, vomiting, swollen belly, maybe constipation, maybe like pale, foul stools. And if you take your child to a clinic regularly, they normally measure them. And so if there's stunting or height and impairments generally, and you can see a decline, this is also in a way that you can maybe investigate really what's going on with your child. Then also things like, because there's the inability to absorb nutrients, then we call it failure to thrive in the kids. They also have, you can maybe the damage to the tooth enamel. We can expect weight loss, anemia, irritability, short statures, delayed puberty, and then also neurological symptoms like ADHD, learning abilities. So if you think about how many people speak about ADHD, which is quite a relevant topic these days as well, when I saw this, it made me wonder if you like sort of dig into the diet, what you will find there.
In other words, what you're saying there is that a child maybe that's displaying symptoms of ADHD, if you'd investigate gluten intolerance, you might find a link that you might be able to treat.
Yes. So in other words, if that is one of the symptoms of the celiacs, then if you correct the diet, you will obviously see an improvement in irritability, concentration, and all of those things. Yeah. So with all of these symptoms said, very good idea to then go to the doctor if there's diarrhea or digestive discomfort within 2 weeks, or like continuously for 2 weeks, then consider going to the doctor, especially if it's a child and you see that your child is pale and irritable, there's failure of thriving, again, that pot belly and that foul smelling stool, good idea to go to the doctor. Quite important not to stop the gluten before you go to the GP, mm-hmm. because when they test, then you want obviously to see that the gluten markers are there.
Right.
Otherwise, if you leave it out and they test, you might be diagnosed as not being gluten intolerant because you've excluded the gluten maybe for a while.
Right.
So rather keep on eating what you're eating and go to the doctor, do the tests, and then you can take it from there. Very interesting causes. It might be genetic. So if somebody in the family is gluten intolerant, we see maybe there's a genetic predisposition for people later. But otherwise, also things like emotional stress or trauma, or maybe you had a viral infection, childbirth, pregnancy, all of this can actually, or surgery can put a flare up and you can actually then develop this immune response towards gluten. Mm. So it's not to say you can develop it later in life, maybe because of various things, or it can be genetic. And then people that are more prone to being gluten intolerant will be people that suffer from type 1 diabetes, maybe an autoimmune thyroid disease, a colitis or Addison's disease, or Down's, Turner or Williams syndrome, because obviously there's a suppressed immune response already in these groups. So therefore, they might be more likely to develop it or be prone to having this battle, if I can put it like that.
And
if it's
identified, I'm guessing the correct treatment would be to exclude those items from your diet. Is that the basic straightforward way of treating it? Then you've obviously got to make sure that you get the right nutrients from elsewhere.
Yeah, definitely. So a gluten-free diet, very effective to treat the symptoms. And then I think when you look at the micronutrients that might not be absorbed as well, just like a multivitamin supplement, maybe calcium supplementation, won't be a bad idea in these groups. But then what to avoid? So unfortunately, it's not that easy to have a gluten-free diet. So we have to avoid all things that contains wheat bran, wheat flour, spelt, durum, semolina, barley, rice, malt, brewer's yeast, all of these things contain gluten. So it makes it rather difficult, because if you think about bread, pasta, cereals, baked goods like your cakes, muffins, pastries, cookies, snack foods these days, muesli bars, crackers, pretzels, all of this unfortunately contains gluten.
Right.
And when you buy... And so it's very important, to read the label, because also if we look at sauces and packets of soup, generally they put, they will say thickeners. So it's quite important to look, what did they use as a thickener? Was it potato? Was it wheat? Was it corn? If you are that severely sensitive to gluten, because all of those things then obviously contains wheat. To make it easy, if you think about potato, corn, and rice, all of the derivatives from corn, potato, and rice will be safe options. So a corn cake, a rice cake, potato flour, rice flour, chickpea flour, almond flour, so anything with nutty flours or legume flours would be safe alternatives for somebody that suffers of a gluten intolerance. These days, there's lots of corn products on the market. You even get corn pasta, corn cakes. And if we think about corn flakes, Rice Krispies, maybe not the most fibrous diet ever, but at least it is gluten-free. So your focus then should go, if you're looking for a starch, go to the vegetable things that will be starchy. So in other words, your potato, your rice, and your corn. Really, really good options and very safe an easy way to then buy snack foods if you buy derivatives from these three groups.
And you'd obviously have to be very, very careful of processed foods and, like you said, sauces and things like that. Because it could sneak in.
Yes. So if you think about generally meat, we expect if you eat fresh meat, there won't be any gluten. But the minute you go to processed meats, if you read the label, there's lots of starch fillers in there. So things like a bologna or a ham or whatever in your mind might be protein. But unfortunately, you'll have to read the label because also there's a lot of starch in those things. And you are allowed dairy, but then as I read dairy, I realized that some of the dairy derivatives, you see, sometimes they say a dairy snack. And the minute you pick up the dairy snack container and you read it, there will be some or other thickener in there. So you'll have to, if you're really, really sensitive to gluten, my advice would be to read the label, make sure that you are careful of the products that contains thickeners, or you have to see what it was. If it's potato, it's okay. If it's corn, it's okay. But if it is a wheat derivative, then it might influence you as well.
And you get, am I correct in asking or saying that you get different degrees of intensity of the of the condition where you might be just slightly, let's say, allergic or very, very intolerant?
Yes, so all intolerances have a tolerability level to a point, but unfortunately, it's different in every person. So that's why it's sometimes difficult for us to treat patients because not all patients are the same. So one person can get away with a little bit of, say, for instance, the thickeners in products is not really something. It won't affect them. But then there might be somebody that's highly sensitive to that and they will have a reaction. So it's a matter of food diaries, really, really a good tool to help you to, so if you write down what you eat and when you have a symptom, write it down, because in a week or two, there will be a correlation between certain food products that gives you a reaction. And then the minute you exclude those, generally the symptoms improve. So that
builds a roadmap that a nutritionist or a doctor can then look at and say, wait a minute, you had that and this is what happened. And that will, and you would probably do that if there's a suspicion of intolerance, or for that matter, if you're trying to figure out exactly what you're allergic to, right from the beginning of the process. Would that diary be a tool to use right from the beginning?
Yes, because we use it as a tool of elimination. So until we get to a page of food that is symptom free, you can actually make a decent balanced diet maybe from all of that. And then somebody can, you know, actually have a normal life, if normal in abbreviation.
Yes, as normal as possible.
Yeah, as normal as possible, but at least you're symptom free, you can relax, you don't battle with digestive system symptoms, or maybe the tiredness or whatever it might have been. And I mean, that's worth more than to exclude some foods,
And I suppose also then from a quality of life point of view, you know that you can go out, you know what you can eat and what you can't eat, that you don't go out you get caught out and suddenly you're feeling symptoms and you're not feeling well.
Exactly. And then the one thing that if I say brewer's yeast, there was also what to eat and drink. Generally, you can eat and drink anything. But just remember, products that's made from brewer's yeast, if you are gluten intolerant, you will have symptoms. Unfortunately, for those guys that love the beer and you're gluten intolerant, it might just not be.
It's not. So you'll have to find something else to drink with the rugby.
Yes, for sure. Yeah.
Right. Well, Unetsi, it's very, very interesting, and you know, you kind of listen to what you've just mentioned, and you kind of think, wow, you know, what a lot of us take for granted, you can eat whatever you see, and then other people, they need to be very, very careful and read labels more particularly than most of us probably need to. But yet at the end of the day, there is hope. And there are ways of working around it just by being careful, being clever, and consulting people like yourself, nutritionists, your doctors.
Yes, and we are fortunate, obviously, these days that there's quite a few chain stores that's got gluten-free products. So, you know, there will be something to buy if you don't want to be innovative yourself. And there are gluten-free options available on the shelf.
That you can get. Unetsi, one last question. If somebody wants to reach you, how do they go about it?
They're more than welcome to contact me on 084-609-3989, or they can find me on Instagram at Unetsi.
Great. Unetsi, thank you very, very much. Have a great week, and looking forward to chatting again next week, Thursday.
Thanks so much, Wayne.
And also, don't forget, this podcast will be on our website later on today.